Gift relief will not always be available to completely wipe out the capital gain. Sometimes gift relief is restricted. Perhaps the most common example when full gift relief will not be available is when a donor gives away shares in his personal company and that company holds non-business assets. If this is the case, the amount of the gain which qualifies for gift relief is restricted by the fraction that you see on the page in front of you. To calculate the gift relief, we take the donor's capital gain and multiply it by the fraction chargeable business assets divided by the chargeable assets of the company at the date of the gift. We shall clarify these terms on the next page. This CBA divided by CA restriction only applies where a donor and donee are making gift relief claims under Section 165. Where a donor is giving shares to a trust and is claiming gift relief under Section 260, there is no such restriction. Also note that this restriction only applies to gifts of shares in the donor's personal company. As such, we only need to consider CBA over CA where the donor has at least 5% of the shares in the company. In the fraction restricting the amount of gift relief available, CBA is the value of the company's chargeable business assets and CA is the value of the company's chargeable assets. Chargeable asset, in this context, is any asset which is chargeable to capital gains tax. Therefore, assets such as stock, debtors or cars are not chargeable assets as they are outside the scope of CGT. Chargeable assets will therefore include assets such as land and buildings, goodwill, plant and machinery, or other assets held for investment purposes such as rental properties or shares. A chargeable business asset is a chargeable asset which is being used for business purposes. An asset is used for business purposes if it helps the company generate profits which are chargeable to tax as trading income. An example of a chargeable asset which is not used in the business would be shares held for investment purposes, as these produce dividend income, buildings which are let out by a company, thereby producing rental income, would also be non-business assets. Therefore, to calculate the amount of the gain which qualifies for gift relief, we must look at the balance sheet of the company at the date of the gift. This will give us our figures of CBA and CA and help us to calculate the gift relief available. By way of an example, here we have Danny, who owns shares in McNamara Limited. McNamara Limited is Danny's personal company. Danny bought his shares in December 1994 for £100,000. In December 2010, he gave the shares to his daughter when they were worth £250,000. The balance sheet of McNamara Limited at December 2010 is as per your screen. As Danny is giving away shares in his personal company, gift relief will be available to reduce Danny's chargeable gain. Our requirement is to calculate the amount of gift relief available. To calculate the gift relief, we must identify the chargeable assets and chargeable business assets of the company at the date of the gift. We do this by looking down the balance sheet. We start with the chargeable assets. The premises are chargeable assets. Land and buildings are chargeable to CGT. Plant and machinery, in this context, is not a chargeable asset. This asset will therefore be treated as exempt from CGT under the chattels rules, because no gain arises if a chattel is sold for less than £6,000. The car is exempt from CGT and can therefore be ignored. The shares in listed companies are chargeable assets. Stock and cash are not chargeable assets. The total value of the company's chargeable assets is therefore the value of the premises plus the shares. These add up to £400,000. We now need to identify which of these chargeable assets are used in the company's business. The premises are used in the business. Therefore, of the £400,000 of chargeable assets, only £390,000 are chargeable business assets. The CBA over CA fraction is therefore £390,000 divided by £400,000. Danny's gift to his daughter is a disposal for CGT purposes, So we need to calculate the capital gain. We assume proceeds to be market value and deduct cost to give a gain of £150,000. We next work out how much of this gain is eligible for gift relief. We do this by taking the gain and multiplying it by the CBA over CA fraction. The gain qualifying for gift relief is therefore £146,250, leaving Danny with a chargeable gain of £3,750. Entrepreneur's relief will be available to reduce the gain as Danny has worked in the personal company. We'll consider this in more detail in a minute. Danny's daughter is deemed to have bought the shares from him for £250,000. The deferred gain of £146,250 is then rolled over and reduces this base cost, giving his daughter a CGT base cost of £103,750. A second occasion where full gift relief will not be available is in the instance of a sale at undervalue. A sale at undervalue means the donee will pay the donor for the transfer of the assets. However, the amount paid by the donee is less than the market value of the asset at the date of the gift. Therefore, we have a sale, but the consideration is less than market value. A sale at undervalue is treated as a gift for CGT purposes. As with all gifts, the way we calculate the capital gain is by assuming the sale proceeds are equal to the market value of the asset at the date of the gift. This means that when calculating the capital gain, we completely ignore any actual proceeds changing hands. Market value less cost produces a gain. Assuming the asset being transferred is a business asset for gift relief purposes, gift relief will be available to reduce this gain. The amount of the gift relief will then be rolled over and deducted from the donee's base cost. In many instances, a sale at undervalue will result in gains being left chargeable after a gift relief claim has been made. In this instance, the gain will be equal to what we call the excess proceeds. Excess proceeds means the difference between the cash received by the donor on the transfer of the assets and his base cost, or, if appropriate, his March 1982 value. In essence, if the donor makes a cash profit on the sale at undervalue, this cash profit will be charged to capital gains tax. Let us illustrate this by way of an example. Here we have a taxpayer called Phil, who bought a building for £30,000 in March 1987. Phil transferred the building to Jamie when it was worth £100,000. The building is used in Phil's trade and is therefore a qualifying asset under Section 165. This transfer is not an outright gift, as Jamie pays Phil £40,000 for the asset. What we therefore have is a sale at undervalue, because the amount that Jamie pays to Phil for the asset is less than its market value. The first thing we need to do is to calculate Phil's capital gain. The deemed proceeds are the market value at the date of the gift, being £100,000. Note here, we do not use the £40,000 paid by Jamie. If we deduct Phil's base cost of £30,000, Phil is left with a gain, before any reliefs, of £70,000. Jamie is deemed to have bought the asset for £100,000, i.e., its market value. This is Jamie's base cost for CGT purposes. We will now consider gift relief. Where we have a sale at undervalue, we must consider whether Phil has excess proceeds. Phil actually sold the asset for £40,000, having paid £30,000 for the asset in May 1987. Phil is therefore making a cash profit of £10,000. This is the amount of his gain. This is taxable in 2010-11. The difference between Phil's £70,000 gain and his chargeable gain of £10,000 is the gift relief. Here, the gift relief of £60,000 will be rolled over and deducted from Jamie's base cost. Jamie's base cost for CGT purposes is therefore £40,000. Jamie is deemed to have acquired the asset in September 2010. If there are no excess proceeds, i.e. the gift is an outright gift, Or if Jamie had paid Phil less than £30,000 for the asset, full gift relief is given in the usual way. A gain on a gift may be eligible for both gift relief and entrepreneur's relief. This would apply, for example, where a sole trader is gifting the whole of his business, or where shares are gifted in a personal trading company in which the donor works. Where a gain is eligible for both gift and entrepreneur's relief, gift relief is applied first. Therefore, if the full gain qualifies for gift relief and a claim for gift relief is made, entrepreneur's relief will not apply, as there is no gain left in charge. If part of the gain in respect of a gift remains chargeable after a claim for gift relief, entrepreneur's relief can be claimed on the balance. This assumes that the gift meets the conditions of a qualifying disposal for entrepreneur's relief purposes. Gift relief claims are not mandatory, and a taxpayer may prefer not to make a gift relief claim and instead allow the full gain on a gift to qualify for entrepreneur's relief. This may be the case if, for example, the recipient of the gift will not be eligible to claim entrepreneur's relief on a subsequent disposal and will therefore be taxed at a higher rate on the deferred gain. Let's consider an example. Stephen owns the entire share capital of Smith Enterprises Limited, a family trading company for which he has worked as a director for many years. The base cost of his shares is £280,000. He is a higher rate taxpayer. In July 2010, Stephen sold the shares to his son Tom for £400,000. Tom also works for the company. Stephen's shares were worth £900,000 in July 2010. We'll calculate Stephen's chargeable gain after all reliefs. The disposal takes place at market value, so proceeds are £900,000. We deduct the cost of the shares to give a gain of £620,000. From this, we deduct gift relief. As some cash was received, not all of the gain can be deferred. The amount of gain left in charge is the actual proceeds less the base cost of the asset. These excess proceeds are therefore £120,000. The gift relief is the balancing figure of £500,000. Stephen had owned shares in his personal company and had worked for the company. As a result, the remaining gain of £120,000 is eligible for entrepreneur's relief. Assuming Stephen made no other disposals in 2010-11, we deduct the annual exemption of £10,100 and tax the remaining gain of £109,900 at 10%, giving a liability of £10,990. The decision as to whether or not to claim gift relief and/or entrepreneur's relief will depend on the facts of each particular case. It will involve the consideration of a number of factors, for example, the rate of tax paid by the donor and the recipient, the availability of losses and the annual exemption, and whether the recipient can claim entrepreneur's relief on a future disposal. As usual, let us finish this session by attempting a couple of practice questions. We start by calculating the donor's capital gain before any reliefs. Here, the gain on the gift by Dad is £80,000. As Dad is giving away shares in an unlisted trading company, gift relief is available.
The company has chargeable assets of £500,000, of which £440,000 are used in the business. Therefore, 88% of Dad's gain will qualify for gift relief, being £70,400.
This will be the amount of the gain to be deferred. Next, we consider the son's base cost. The donee is deemed to have acquired the shares at their market value of £200,000 less the rolled over gain.
The son's base cost for CGT purposes is therefore £200,000 less the deferred gain of £70,400, giving a base cost of £129,600.
We'll start by calculating Bernard's capital gain on the transfer of the shares to Zoe. As the shares were originally acquired by Bernard before March 1982, we must use the March 1982 market value in our calculations in the normal way. Zoe paid £48,000 to Bernard for the shares, even though they were worth £90,000. We therefore have a sale at undervalue. To calculate the gain, we use the market value of the shares at the date of the gift. From this, we deduct March 1982 value. This gives us a capital gain of £65,000. From this capital gain, we'll deduct gift relief to arrive at a chargeable gain. In the case of a sale at undervalue, we must look at whether Bernard has excess proceeds. Bernard charged Zoe £48,000 for the asset. Because we've used March 1982 value to calculate the capital gain, we have pretended that Bernard bought the asset on this date for £25,000. Bernard's excess proceeds are therefore £23,000, and this will be the chargeable gain. The gift relief claim in this instance is the difference between the calculated gain and the chargeable gain, being £42,000. This concludes this lecture on restrictions to gift relief.